Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here to ring the opening bell in honor of Spencer Rattler starting at quarterback is the Spencer Davis Group. It's the only thing I could find, that or a snake song. Anyway, we're going to start off talking about the presidential race, and I'm going to ask you right now at 504-260-1870, because I know there are people that believe different things. Marjorie Taylor Greene saying that the government controls the weather, and President Biden yesterday calling her out for that and about the other misinformation when it comes to FEMA. In a way, misinformation and a not, I'll explain, because we went through all that after Katrina. But do you believe the government controls the weather, honestly? Do you think Marjorie Taylor Greene is right and that the government controls the weather? I'd like to know. 504-260-1870. Got nothing to do with Republican, got nothing to do with Democrat. She's the one that said it. But just let me know on the Oakland Heart Jeweler talk and text line at 504-260-1870. Do you think the government controls the weather? We'll be back. Tommy Tucker, WWO. All right, 613 now, and it's going to feel a little bit like fall today. Highs of 84, lower humidity. It's really going to feel more like fall inside, because you'll notice the air conditioner is a lot more efficient without the humidity. Highs of 84 today, 82, 82 Saturday, 84 Sunday, 87 on Monday. But guess what? Then a cold front comes through Tuesday, highs of 78. And then Wednesday, the high temperature on Wednesday will be only 70 degrees. That means at like 3, 4 in the afternoon when we reach the high temperature, it's only going up to 70. So we will get a feel for fall, and the ladies can wear the boots and all the fashion stuff that they love to wear when that happens. Aaron Dusso joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
I asked people before we came on to text me at 504-260-1870 about this Marjorie Taylor Greene thing, and do you actually believe the government controls the weather? And some of the texts that I've gotten in, a bunch of them are links that people send me. I'm not going to click on this, so it's a pretty simple question. Yes or no, do you think the government controls the weather? Somebody texted in and said, I believe the World Economic Forum controls a lot of things about our government, but they don't control the weather. Somebody else said the government can't even control Marjorie Taylor Greene, much less the weather. Somebody else said she's one person, but give it a break, that China's increasingly accused of it out in the South China Sea. Do your homework. Leave MTG out of the discussion. So I don't know. I don't know if they're trying to defend her or not. Yes, I believe the government controls the weather. When the Democrats pray for rain, hurricanes happen. I wonder if in what context she said that. Obviously, a ridiculous statement by itself. But people tend to believe that, and the context has nothing to do with it. That's what she said, and President Biden called her out yesterday for that, and also President Trump for spreading some, in a way, misinformation about FEMA. I'll talk about that in a minute because we went through it after Katrina. But does any of this matter as far as the presidential election when you're talking about so few people? Or in your opinion, is it just a few thousand of people that are going to control this election and swing it?
Oh, I mean, this election is so close that it is going to be just a few thousand people that are going to swing this election in just a couple of states. Just as an example of how close this election is, we finally got some state level polling that came out in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and those polls all contradicted each other. So in Michigan, you had two polls come out. One says that Harris is up by three. The other says that Trump's up by 3.5. I mean, that's as clear as mud. And I think that's what we're going to end up being, for the rest of this month and going into election day.
Is there a chance that anything's flying beneath the radar, either people that are supporting Trump that won't admit to it on polls or say they are, or not responding to polls, or people that are supporting Harris that won't say they are or responding to polls, or some kind of silent group that's just going to show up and vote for either one?
I mean, there's so the history, you know, in 2016, obviously the polling has, you know, it does pretty well nationally, but at the state level is pretty bad. In 2020, it actually at the national level misses even worse. But, you know, the more recent elections, 2022, and then a lot of these off-year elections. And then if you look even at the primaries, it seemed like, you know, Trump was underperforming. So, you know, recently, you know, pollsters, they all want, you know, the ones that are reputable, they want to be right. And so they spent a lot of time trying to analyze how can we get this right after we screwed up, say, in 2020. So I would say polling is probably as good as it's going to get. What it has a hard time capturing is ultimately the ground game that happens that gets people to the polls, because this is going to be a turnout election. And turnout is really difficult to capture, because that is about what your state party is doing, what your local mayor who happens to be running somewhere is doing, and not just what the national campaigns are doing. And it's so tough, because that is where you got to have journalists on the ground, and it's polling just doesn't capture.
I get texts coming in about read J.D. Vance's op-ed in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and that'll give you the true story of what's going on and this and that and the other thing. What does it say about the nature of people in this country? My mother used to have a saying, and she'd say, if blank told you that, or if Fred told you that blank was fudge, you'd eat it, okay? And I think we can all fill in the blank. And I think there are some people now, through the political prism that they look through at everything, are kind of like that, where no matter who says what, they'll believe it if they're already inclined to that. Is that where we are politically, where people will say, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the government controls the weather? Well, if you read this, you'll see that, and just completely ignore the idiocy of that statement?
Yeah, I mean, we really are. I mean, the saying that I hear a lot is, you know, extraordinary claims like that require extraordinary evidence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not what's being presented here. It's just a couple of clicks here, read this one story. But the reality is this is how politics works. And it's not actually just new. I mean, the partisanship, even going back to the earliest political science research, was something that we saw as an identity that people put on their partisan glasses, and they filter their entire world through those partisan glasses. So they won't see the things that they disagree with. They'll only let in essentially the stuff that they agree with. So it's this big confirmation bias situation that happens. So it's not surprising to hear people that if you are on Republican side, you're going to say, point to these, read this. If you're on the Democratic side, you're going to point to different things, and they're just going to contradict each other. And we're almost not even talking to each other, you know, at the same time. We're not really having a debate. We're just talking past each other.
And the text comes in, as you say, that 2020 election was stolen in four states. Read up. And that goes to the outlook that people have, where I can go online, find anything to say anything I want if I want to believe it, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, so the internet has made a confirmation bias, you know, on steroids, because there's always an answer for that we want to find. And that's what Google's great at, is telling us what we want to hear, because that's when we become more engaged. Now, so, yeah, it's a situation where people don't listen to facts.
I will say this about FEMA now, for people that, you know, we went through it here in Katrina. Trump was saying that FEMA's going to give people $750 and that's it. We went through it here at Katrina at the time. I think the time was $600 that FEMA was going to give people. They also said that one thing that's completely wrong is that FEMA is going to seize your property. That's not true. They do have Small Business Administration loans that they make that you do have to pay back. In some cases, they forgive them. But FEMA, again, you can't be on both sides of the issue. You can't say that FEMA, the government, has to go in and make everybody whole, and then say, well, maybe you shouldn't live there in the first place to begin with, because we went through it after Katrina. Nor can you say, well, FEMA has to make everybody whole, but you have to limit government spending because somebody has to pay for that. And we're going through a thing here, Professor, with FEMA and flood rating 2.0, where FEMA raised my flood insurance personally, tripled it, and a lot of people have gone through worse than that, with even though they made billions of dollars of improvements to the flood risk reduction system, and there's no justification for that. So if people want to look at the truth and they're here, look at your own experience. I would tell you that to suggest what's real and what's not real, because we did go through it after Katrina. We'll pick it up. We come back 6:20. Tommy Tucker, WWL, 504-260-1870. Do you think the government controls the weather? Honestly. Back in a flash right now, traffic.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be well. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. Professor, for a long time, we talked about this presidential race being nothing but Trump versus Biden, and that's going to be it. Let's see what happens. And a lot of things have happened since Biden's debate in June, Kamala Harris becoming the nominee. Now you got hurricanes, and you got people in North Carolina and voting. How likely is either Helene or Milton of an impact? Are likely are those storms to have an impact on the presidential race, in your opinion?
We're seeing to be in such a polarized time that it seems like, and actually some political scientists have theorized that part of the effect of this polarization is that it's made us essentially numb to reality. Mm-hmm. We don't react to real events happening. And so you can see these humongous and really important and tragic hurricanes that, you know, that happen. And we don't see really any movement in the polls, regardless of the, you know, the federal reaction to it and how helpful or not helpful it's perceived. And this, you know, in Katrina is almost exact opposite, but this is many years, it was decades ago that you had this happen. And we did see some major polling, particularly with, you know, thoughts about Bush. So this hyperpolarization that we live in seemingly makes it so polls don't move at all.
I get texts here defending Marjorie Taylor Greene, telling me to do my research, that she was talking about cloud seeding. Well, she also implied a campfire in California 2018 killed 85 people. Burned up more than 150,000 acres, caused by lasers shot from space and powered by space solar generators. And it actually was caused by electrical transmission lines. And I guess, Professor, I'm just wondering, and it's on both sides, the way we are now, is there any coming back from this? What happens after this? If Trump wins the election, do we continue to go down a rabbit hole? If Trump loses the election, do people... I don't know. You're a political scientist. Tell me, have you seen times like this before?
So, you know, if you look back into the late 1800s, there was very highly polarized too. You know, this is all post-Civil War. Obviously, we went to war. But there's been bad times. What typically happens, though, is eventually one side or the other starts to lose elections, you know, pretty regularly, such that the party itself and the elites in the party have to start to change. They have to start to change their message. And ultimately, that'll filter down to the, you know, the average voter, the average person. And thus, we become, you know, a little bit less partisan. And more like what it was like in the mid-20th century, where we were much more overlapped, less of this, you know, polarization that we see today.
Yeah, and I'm not, this is not for Trump, against Trump, for Harris, against Trump. This is about BS and calling it out when I see it. And some of the things that are said, I don't know if it's true or not, but I know when it comes to hurricanes and what they're talking about here, we went through it in Katrina, so I know that the response by FEMA, while maybe not perfect when it comes to Helene, is not the worst ever, because we saw the worst ever here in New Orleans with Katrina and not being able to get water to people, having it staged, and that led to the infamous you're doing a heck of a job brownie from George W. Bush. It's not an anti-Republican thing. I'm just saying that I wish the people here could put the bias aside and just remember to what they, do you understand why I'm so passionate about this? What they actually lived through. Remember that and let that guide you, not what somebody tells you.
I can understand the frustration when, you know, people seemingly turn away from their own experience, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. And so, you know, I lived through this, and I'm still listening to, you know, some politician from some other state telling me what I actually perceived and actually lived through. That's where it becomes scary, where, you know, propaganda becomes to be real powerful, where people begin to distrust even their own experience. And that's where politicians can take us to some pretty dark places.
We've all been through it with friends where they're going out with somebody and this person was just a tramp, be it male or female, and they were sleeping with everybody behind the other person's back. And everybody knew it except for the person, the significant other, and they refused to believe it. And that can drive you crazy. And that's what this reminds me of. Thank you, Professor.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science, Indiana University, Indianapolis. We'll talk to Mike Strain. We come back, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. We always learn something when we talk to him. Right now, time for WWL First News. 6:38, 22 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Mike Strain coming up. You heard that story about the solar thing that's going to happen that might make the northern lights, believe it or not, visible in Louisiana, as far south as Louisiana. And we'll talk more about that as the morning progresses. But, man, that's been on my bucket list always, to see the northern lights. And even if you're in Iceland, there's only a certain time of year that you can see them. But I would love to see that. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Mike Strain here on WWL. Here's what happens when you use Benjamin Moore paint. That's why so many professional painters use Benjamin Moore paint, because they know there's no future in doing it twice, and there's no future in overpaying or overpainting. Now, if you do it yourself, you don't want to waste your time. Benjamin Moore paint, if you take the gallons challenge, is going to give you better hide, better coverage, quicker dry times, and be able to paint more square footage out of a can of Benjamin Moore paint than others. That being said, there's a different Benjamin Moore paint for every budget. I use the top of the top. Benjamin Moore Element Guard paint, when I painted the exterior of my home, I will never have to paint that house again, ever. The paint is guaranteed for the life of the home, and I did it myself. And when it comes to paying somebody to paint your house, 85% of the cost is the labor. So why would you pay them more to spread more paint when you could do it cheaper with better paint from Helm Paint Decorating, Benjamin Moore paint? It's pretty simple. They got locations all over. The newest one in Gretna, Helm Paint and Decorating. It's in the shopping center, 91 West Bank Expressway, between Planet Fitness and Rouse's. If you want to make sure the project comes out right, go to helmpaint.com. Let Helm Paint and Decorating steer you right. 6:44, 16 till 7, Thursday morning. That's the time of week where around these parts we talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, and always learn something new. How you doing, Mike?
Man, I am doing great. At Port Strike is off for now, so that's a very good thing. You know, harvest is going very well. We've got some beautiful weather, and I can tell you what, we dodged a bullet with Milton.
Oh, my
gosh. We really did.
Man, let me tell you, I was watching last night, and I was just praying for the people in Florida and thinking and looking at all the tornadoes that spun off and everything else and the rain and thinking how disastrous that could have been for us.
Yes. And if you're especially on the right on the heels of Helena, you know, and I've been reaching out to my counterparts. I tell you, we used to think when we got to October 1st, look, you could let your guard down, but that's not the case anymore. We're going to have to really be prepared. And if you look at this storm, that's one of the most powerful storms in recorded history. You know, it jumped up. It was just a tropical storm to a major hurricane in just a few hours, up to 110 miles an hour. And then it got to a 3, then a 4, then a 5, and it hit the coast, you know, at least a 3, moving at about 8 miles an hour. So I tell you, they're probably looking at $100 billion+ in insurance damages, and there's going to be some real challenges in Florida, real challenges. And so, we're going to have to really pay close attention to that. And one of the things, a lot of people didn't evacuate, you know, and so that's what happened with Katrina. People didn't leave. And when it's time to go, we got to remember, it's time to go. So complacency is not our friend. Now is the time we also need to be thinking about if you're going to start, you know, getting that generator for next year, start getting all that done and do it properly. That's a big deal. You know, the thing about getting a generator, a 4, 5, or 6 kW generator, and how you say reverse wiring it into the system in your house, that's bad. That is not a good thing.
No.
You know, so get it done professionally. Where it's safe, and it's safe not only for you, but for the lineman, and do it right.
For people that don't know, if you do that wrong, you can kill a lineman that's trying to restore your power.
Absolutely.
I just want to throw that in.
Absolutely. There's a way that we do it that is sort of like, you know, the Boudreaux and Thibodeau type of way.
You don't want that.
And I'm not picking Boudreaux and Thibodeau.
No, I understand.
Because I can, but you really shouldn't do that. They make, very good transfer switches, and you can get a professional electrician to hook it up right.
And the other thing, house generators, the natural gas powered ones, you got to make sure that that's why it's important to have a professional do it, to make sure that the system can provide what you need, right? Didn't they have a problem with that?
That's exactly right. If you have low voltage, you'll burn up the appliances in your house. You know, so what they do, they come out and they look at your wiring, and they look at your meter pan and your fuse panel, your breaker box, You should be a breaker box. If you got a no fuse panel, you need to go ahead and change that out too. And then they'll put either an automatic or a manual transfer switch. But then they're going to measure the amount of electricity that you need. And then you buy the generator with a little more capacity than what you need. And then it's hooked up properly. And the other thing about those generators, number one, remember, they all have engines. So you've got to make sure you have the oil, that they are, you know, everything is done. Because what you don't want is when the storm hits, it doesn't crank. You know, it runs out of oil. So there's some things that go with it. But I can tell you, it's become a necessity now, you know, the whole house generator.
Mike, let me ask you about foreign seafood, because we talked about Pat Connick about this with this yesterday, about the last week, rather, about the festival that where they found 4 out of 5 of the stuff that was being passed off at a seafood festival.
Shrimp
was actually
festival.
Yeah, go ahead. Talk about that, if you will.
Yes, that was Shrimp and Petroleum Festival. And as soon as that happened, I got a call from Senator Mike Feazey, or Feazey, Big Mike, they call him. And Pat Connick and I are also very close friends, and I've been talking to the Shrimp Association and others about that. And that particular authority to enforce that falls under health and hospitals. And so, you know, there's a lot of discussion of what's going on. I think you're going to see some legislation this year coming in, you know, on that particular subject matter to ramp up our ability to, one, to test, to look at the records, and then do something about it, you know. And what's happening in other, for instance, at the Strawberry Festival, there was a vendor that was selling, had imported strawberries from California. Well, they were asked to leave and banned for 3 years from coming back. In this particular case, if you sell foreign seafood, specifically catfish, shrimp, or crawfish, and you label it as Louisiana, it's from a foreign country, the fine starts at $500. There's a fine. There's a mechanism for that, and we need to ramp up enforcement. We also, and we talked about that DNA test and the fact that, we also, if we're going to do enforcement, you know, and I'm talking about government-type enforcement, like we do with labels or weights and measures, then we need to make sure we get an accredited test that will stand up in the courts, and then add that to the repertoire of what we are doing. The labeling laws that were passed by the legislature, and then my department has been charged with enforcement of those labeling laws, that will begin on or about the 20th of January. The law goes into effect on the 1st of January, but the rules that we have to write and publish, and they go into effect on about the 20th of January, and what it says is that if that package of imported crawfish or shrimp is designed to where it is deceiving, where you think it has, quote, Louisiana heritage in it, there's got to be a sign on the front. If it's made in China, made in Mexico, made in India, whatever, at least in a 30 font count on the front, clearly legible. And if not, then there are significant fines and stop orders.
But I would also suggest, Mike, before we take a break here, that the consumer do their due diligence before they just throw it in the shopping cart and thoroughly go through that. You know what? Let me take the break. You pick it up when we come back. All right? About the ways that the consumer can make sure that this is from Louisiana. Mike Strain, our guest, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Man, this angers me. Again, people that lie and fake stuff and make you believe that it's from Louisiana, and then you turn it over and look in a little bitty fine print on the back, and you see that it's from Indonesia. More when we come back, 651, 9 till 7. Traffic now, WWL. 656, 4 till 7. Tommy Tucker, quickly back to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, talking about mislabeled seafood that, as Pat Connick said, Mike, our mutual friend, exploits and what's the word I'm thinking of? Takes Louisiana culture and puts it on a label, but then you got to go turn it over in the back and look at a little bitty fine print to see that it's not from Louisiana.
That's what we're changing.
Yes, sir.
That's what their bills change, and it's going to be on the front. It's going to be in 30 count font, and it would say made in whatever, made in China, made in Mexico, or whatever, product of, said product of India. And it's got to be on the front. If it's not, then we're going to put a stop order on it, and the fine is pretty significant. It's, you know, it starts off at, you know, at over $500, and I think some of them ramp up to in the many thousands of dollars. And so there are 60 companies. We've contacted all of them and said, this is the law, and it's going into effect in January. And so please, if you're going to import seafood, you're going to have it on the front, you know, if there's any way that it looks like it is deceiving. But still, whatever you buy, look for that certified Louisiana logo. Look for that first. Look for that. And look for that on the front of the package. Read your packages. And, you know, and you know, if whatever you buy, if you become accustomed to buying it, you know, make sure that you're buying the right product. And if it looks too cheap, something's wrong. Something is wrong, and then you need to look at that. But it's up to each and every one of us, as well, as we say, you ask before you eat. And the only way we're going to grow and help our shrimp industry and our crawfish and our catfish and all of that is that we eat our own domestic seafood. And not only that, it's delicious. It's incredible. And we have to make sure that we support our local industries.
Mike, what's going on with the Farm Bill?
Nothing. That's the problem. It is just stuck. I'll be at Farm Bureau today. That we've been promised and promised and promised they would pass this Farm Bill. The Farm Bill, they've had 2 years to pass this, and now they're kicking it down the road. Now, some of the things, you know, the disaster provisions and the nutrition provisions will continue without the Farm Bill being renewed, but many provisions will end at the end of this year. So, in other words, and I'm not talking about their fiscal year, I'm talking about on December the 31st, and now they're saying they're going to kick it to the next Congress. That's a new Congress. Mm-hmm. The Farm Bill is only 1% of the federal budget. They need to get there. They need to sit down and go to work and pass that Farm Bill. They need to get to where they are passing legislation and dealing with the issues and not kicking it to the agencies. And so we need a Farm Bill. We need it now. It's a roadmap to the greatest industry in Louisiana and the greatest industry in America.
Well, yeah, I hope you know Mike Johnson. Give him a call. He's the speaker. Maybe he can help you out. Steve Scalise.
I know Mike Johnson.
Very powerful people,
right? I know them all. That's exactly. I know them all, and until the time is now. You know, and all the infighting in Washington has got to stop.
Mike, I know you're a very talented and very beloved veterinarian, and along those lines, I know there's a new member of the Strain family, is there not?
Yes, Hootie. Hootie came home Sunday. Hootie is a 9.5-week-old female basset hound. I tell you, Hootie has hit the lottery. She came in and looked at her. I said, man, I like it here. And that dog is going to live a great life, and she's really sweet. You know, and nothing makes your day better than a puppy. So
my
wife told me, Hootie slept in your spot last night. I said, what?
Hootie, your Powerball ticket has come in. You landed with the Strain family.
I guarantee you, she has service. She goes to the clinic every day, and all the technicians and receptionists pet her and love up on her. So when you see my wife going down the road, and you see these big ears in the other seat, that's Hootie going for a ride every day.
Thank you, Doc. Congratulations. Enjoy Hootie. We'll talk to you next week. Tommy Tucker, WWL.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.